Okay, and so ends Ribbis. Our topic for today is Ribbis and trading work or trading loans. And then, God willing, on Friday, Adam will start us off on Melachas HaShabbos with an introduction. So this all comes out of a Mishnah in Bava Metzia, and we'll see it momentarily. But I just want to note, we're going to be talking about the case of trading work, meaning I say to you, I'm going to take care of job X for you, and you take care of job Y for me later on. So the assumption here in our entire conversation is that this is only involving a case of two separate parties. Meaning, I say to Baruch, you know, I'm going to do your field, and you'll later on wash my kids or whatever it is, right? As opposed to if we were partners in an enterprise and we're trading work. When you're partners in some kind of a business and you take different roles, that is not a problem of ribbis at all. It's simply the breakdown of labor. It's not a loan. The Chasam Sofer says this in Yerodei Kuflamet Hey, regarding a case of a community that's taking care of aniyim. They're taking care of needy people, and some people take one job, and some people take another job, and collectively we manage to take care of the needy people. So he says that's not called trading work. It's only where you're two separate entities, each one taking care of his own business. Okay, that's just an introduction. That didn't really fit anywhere else in the shiur, so I figured let me say it at the beginning. But the mission of Bava Metzia is what we want to see. It's found in the Gemara Nayin Hey Avad Aleph Nayin Hey Amud Beis, and it's source Aleph on our sheets. Omer Adam Lachavero, Nakesh Imi Vanakesh Imecha. One may say to somebody else, you do Nikush with me, I will do Nikush with you. Nikush refers to weeding, removing weeds. So you help me weed my area, and I'll help you weed your area later on. That's fine. Ador imi ve'ador imcha. You hoe with me, and I will hoe with you. We have to do hoeing of our our vegetable garden where we need to plant, whatever, you know, around the base of the tree, all the different cases in which this may come up. You do it with me, I'll do it with you later. That's fine. V'lo yomar lo, nekoshi mi ve'ador imcha. What you can't do is say, I want you to take care of the weeding with me, and then I'll take care of the hoeing with you, or adori mi v'anakish imcha, or vice versa. That will not be allowed, and the presumption is that the reason why it's not allowed is because one type of work is harder than the other. We're going to come back to that to clarify that, but one type of work is harder, maybe more expensive than the other. And so, what I'm really doing when I approach you with this deal is saying, if you will work for me now, I will work harder for you, or I'll do more valuable work for you later on. And that will be my way of paying you for the delay, the time delay between when you worked for me and when I work for you. Last point in the Mishnah, Kol Yimei Garid Echad, Kol Yimei Revia Echad. The entire season is one. Garid is the dry season, Revia is the rainy season, and we say that that entire season counts as one, so therefore, it's not a problem for me to say, I will weed with you, well, you weed with me this week, and I will weed with you next week within one season. It's not considered to be that I am trading harder or more valuable work, even though, as we'll see, there is variation theoretically between the days of a season. Nonetheless, it doesn't matter. And finally, lo yomar lo charoshimi begarid v'aniach charoshimcha berevia. This is the corollary of that, right? I can't say to you, you plow with me during the dry season, and I will plow with you during the rainy season. And we'll see more about this difficulty variation, but that's the basic idea. That's what the Mishnah says, and it's brought basically verbatim in the Rambam, in Malva Velova, Zayin Aleph. I brought it for you in source base, but I'm not even going to read it through, except to note that at the end he adds keywords. After he brings the case of you plow with me in the dry season, I will plow with you in the rainy season, he says, Sha'arei Torah HaCharishabi Mos HaGashamim Yeser, because it's harder to plow in the rainy season. What do I know? I have not plowed a day in my life. But the Rambam says that it's harder to plow in the rainy season, and therefore this is a case of exchanging easier work for harder work. Saying, you work for me now, I will pay you for the fact that there's a delay before I pay you back, I will pay you by doing harder work for you in the rainy season. Jerry, you want to say something?
The big thing here is the time difference, right?
Correct. Payment now, for the delay.
I said my leg hurts, okay? And I'll do this, you do that. Would that change anything?
Why would it? In other words, there's no time delay at all?
No.
Oh, so in other words, today, yeah. I am doing this, and you're, so no, then I think you're fine, because there's no time delay at all. And,
if we said my leg hurts, I can't do this today, I'll do it tomorrow, you do this for me today, that would be no good.
Then I think you already have a problem, right? In other words, if it's today, then really this is just commerce. If it's all taking place today, then I am paying you to do my running in exchange for which, you know, my payment is I will do your desk work. That we're okay with. The problem is that once you introduce time, it no longer looks like payment. Now it looks like it is a loan. You lent me your work in exchange for which I'm paying you my work. I'm going to come back to that point in a little bit. The idea of is this payment or is it a loan? It's actually very important to the Rishonim. But that's the Rambam's formulation. Okay. So what makes work non-identical? So that there will be a problem. What is it that distinguishes between the work I'm going to do for you today and the work that you're going to do for me tomorrow, or I guess vice versa? So the first distinction to make is value, right? Where one is worth more. I'm saying to you, we talk about difficulty, but really the first one you should do is value. You do for me work worth $100 today. If you weren't doing it for me, I'd have to hire somebody for $100. I'll do work worth $150 for you next week. Right, that's a simple distinction in terms of value, and the Rambam presents that in Hilchos Malchus Velova, Perek Zayin, Halacha Yud, which is, as the Magid Mishnah notes, derived from our Mishnah. Asur laharbos bischar ha'adam, the Rambam writes, you're not allowed to increase a person's wages. Ketzad, what does that mean? Lo yomar lo asei mi hayom malacha zu shi shave kesef, v'ani asei mechobish v'acher malacha shi shave shtayim. Right, I can't say, you do work for me today that's worth a dollar, and next week I will do work for you that is worth $2. That's what's not allowed, because there's an increase in value which is coming as a result of the fact that you waited. That's the idea. And the Ra'avid says, he's quoting the Sefer Trumos, that's even if it's only more expensive sometimes, which is the point we're going to come back to when we talk about difficulty of labor. Even if at certain times of the year, it's worth more, but other times of year it's not, doesn't make a difference. As long as sometimes that's true, that's already a problem. Might not be true if it's fixed to particular times of year. If I'm at a different time of year, then it's never going to come up. It's more that in some situations it will be more expensive. Okay, that's value. The other is difficulty. So what's the deal with difficulty? Rashi writes here, and the Tur brings it. If you see Rashi in source A, Avalo yomar lo nakeshi mi hayom vedor mchal zman ploni. Rashi writes, pa'amim shezu kashamizu. Sometimes one type of labor is harder than another, and therefore there's akar not delay, because, as I had said before, I am paying you for waiting by doing harder work for you. But Rashi says sometimes it is harder, and that's what the Torah writes. I brought it for you in source Vav. The shepa'amim, the word I bolded. Shacheres shows hello, chavero kveda yoser meosa shaosa shaasa lo. The new one is going to be harder. And therefore there's a gzera for all such cases, even where it's not such a concern. How does Rashi know that it's even true for sometimes? How does Rashi know that? Why isn't it that, no, plowing is always harder, or plowing at that time of year is always harder? How does Rashi know that even if it's just sometimes harder, it's already going to be nisa ribis? It's the language of our Mishnah. Right? Because our Mishnah said you're not allowed to do exchange weeding for hoeing or hoeing for weeding. If it's always the case that, let's say, weeding is harder than hoeing, then the problem is only going to be one way. There's no problem with me borrowing money from you and saying, and I'll pay you less later. We're good with that idea. The only problem is there's going to be more. So from the fact that the language of our Mishnah is both directions, that tells you clearly that this is a problem, even if it's pa'amim. The Bris Yehuda notes in Perek Yud Aleph, Ha'ara Aleph, that there are additions which only listed in one direction. In which case it would be only if they're always so. But yeah, in fact, the language of the Shulchan Aruch is unlike Rashi and the Tur. The language of the Shulchan Aruch is in Sur Zayin. Lo yaseh malacha l'chavero al menas shechavero yaseh imo achar kach malacha shehi yoser kaveda. He says, flat. You can't promise to do harder work. But if it's only sometimes harder, apparently it wouldn't bother him.
He's not defining the type of work. He's just saying,
right, that means that it's harder.
Right.
So that's a, but I'm saying, unlike Rashi, who would say, and it's, and I don't know why he does that, because he cites both directions. He mentions both the weeding for the hoeing and the hoeing for the weeding. So I don't understand why, but he very clearly is rejecting it. And the major difference will be, so if I have a case in which one malacha is always harder than the other, the Rashi is going to prohibit, right? That's the question, fundamentally. Rashi says, even if it's, I'm sorry, if it's sometimes harder. If one malacha is sometimes harder, but not always, so Rashi is going to say, you've already violated by agreeing to this, and the Shulchan Aruch is going to say, lav davka, not necessarily. What if the work, I'm going a little bit quickly, just because it's a weird midweek shear, but are we clear on this? Sort of. What if the work is objectively identical, but subjectively different in either value or difficulty? An example regarding value. The Bris Yehuda asks a question. He doesn't answer it. He gives a very interesting question. It's in Perek Yud Aleph Aravav. Let's say you have two workers, right, at a company. They're not partners. They work in different divisions, whatever. It's not the Chasam Sofer's case. But you have two workers who do the same work, but they get paid differently, not because the work is different, but because of seniority, or one has better education, or whatever it is. But the work is fundamentally the same in difficulty and fundamentally the same in value. It's just that rules of the union are so-and-so gets paid more and so-and-so gets paid less. So what would you say then? It's subjectively different in the sense that you doing this work for me, you're earning me more money than I am earning you when I work for you.
Aren't we interested here in the monetary value of the work?
So the question is, it's not value that's inherent in the work. It's just that value is what I am going to gain for it. So I tend to think you're right, but I think and Rishi Yehuda doesn't answer the question. He leaves it as a tzarachiyut.
But on the other hand, it's not agar natarle in any way, shape, or form.
No, let's say it's over time. In other words, I am doing your work for you, right? I'm going to take care of your shift today, and you're going to take care of my shift a week from now.
Correct, but I could say, I could flip it, right? I'll take care of your shift, right? I'll take care of your shift today, right?
No, it doesn't work for me. I'm not available today.
No, but I'm saying the fact, if I preceded it, right, if instead of saying I'll do it next week, I say, no, you know what? Next week, I'm going to be busy. I offer to do it now, right? Right, which is the opposite of not your lay.
No, but that's not the deal.
Well, what I'm saying is, it's not about waiting.
I don't really understand the deal because I'm not the one paying.
No, but it's for Ribbis discussions in general.
But I'm not the one paying. Like, if we work at the same factory and I have more vetek, then our boss is the one paying. So it's not like I'm engaging in an interaction, transaction where I'm paying you more.
That's not so. Because let's say you had a regular Ribbis case. I borrow money from you. I'm going to use it to make money from a third party. I'm gonna use that money to invest 100%. In materials, I'm gonna build an item, I'm gonna sell it to somebody else, and in the end I'm gonna give you back your money.
Yeah.
I'm making my money off of a third party.
No, 100%, but the transaction is still between you and me.
Yes.
Here the transaction, the payment is coming from our...
No, just the opposite. The boss doesn't know that we're trading shifts.
Right, but
Shalom said that it depends on whether you tell the boss or not.
So the Bris Yehuda adds afterwards a discussion about what if you tell the boss, and then he's a player in it. If the boss has to approve it, this whole discussion is different.
You're saying that we're... That I, with lesser vetek, am doing...
Let's give a case. I am going, and Adam thinks it's obviously austere, and I tend to agree with him. The case is this, okay? Both of us work in a cannery, okay? Both of us stand on the assembly line, and as the stuff comes down the line, we put the label on the can. We're going to be replaced by machines any day.
Right.
But right now, they're still in the dark ages. So I put the labels on the cans, you put the labels on the cans.
Right.
The difference between you and me is that I've been...
5 years longer.
Exactly. Well, actually, I've been there five years longer. With due respect. So the deal is, I say to you, right, I come to you and say... Actually, then in that case, you have to come to me, right? Because it's I come to you. Just the opposite. I say to you... No, it's correct. You come to me. My job is more expensive. My job is paid better.
Yes.
You come to me and say, can you do my job right? Can you do the less expensive job today? And I, Yaakov says, will do Torchiner's job
right
later on.
But the value, and we're basically saying that because the boss would have to pay you more for your shift.
Correct.
Then technically I'm giving you something that is worth, I'm getting something that's worth more because I'm doing your shift.
You're giving me something that's worth more.
I'm giving you something that's worth more.
Yes. You're giving me something that's worth more because you are gaining me money.
By doing, but why, but that assumes that the boss doesn't know that I'm doing it.
Correct. The boss has nothing to do with any of this. The boss just knows that Torchiner gets paid every Friday and Rand gets paid every Friday.
Right.
And he does not know anything about who did whose work. He says, the work got done, I am issuing them paychecks. I don't care who's
doing it. Yeah, that's a totally different issue.
It's not.
Is there Geneva? Why is there Geneva?
Because you're causing the boss to pay more money.
He said it's true. It's not.
No, the work is, everybody agrees the work is not inferior. The same number of cans got taken care of in the same way.
But the boss.
We're not.
First of all, Vetek automatically assumes that I can count on
doing lesser work.
That I can generally count on him to do a better job.
No, $40 an hour. It doesn't matter. You just said it doesn't matter.
I'm not enjoying it.
I'm arguing
with
three different people at the same time, which I don't mind doing, but I can't.
It's three different arguments.
You know what you're talking about.
If you think it's ribbons, it's also Gneva, because what you're saying is, I'm hired to do $50 an hour work, and I'm doing $40 an hour work.
No.
Yes.
The reason why, no, because the reason why I make more money is simply because the union wants to make sure that people who have been there for a longer period of time
are going to be. If I'm doing it, then it's Gneva.
It's either Gneva and ribbons, or it's neither.
No.
No, I understand what you're saying, but it's wrong.
No, but why?
The point
why?
Is that you're hired to do a job, you're doing a job, the fact that he gets paid more is irrelevant. We trade it, because we're not trading salaries. We're trading what hour we put in the number of hours so that we're
exactly.
required by law,
exactly.
or by the rules, to be paid this amount by our boss. We're not trading. We're trading. I have to put in X number of hours a week. Who cares when I put the hours in?
I don't know. That's assuming it depends on the business.
Yeah.
There's shift work or there's non-shift work.
Correct.
No, but we're assuming shift work here.
Okay.
We're assuming in 8 hours that I and Rabbi Torchiner do exactly the same.
We do the same thing. We have the same quota and everything.
Everything is exactly the same. It costs a third party. There's nothing in the transaction between you and I that is implies we meet at all.
Which enables the other one to get money.
Yes.
That's what I...
Because the same amount...
But I'm not... But if the alternative is...
I'll tell you what. I'm going to borrow a case that we're going to see later on, and maybe this will make it more clear.
The idea. Was that yours, or is that...
No, that's the perceived...
That's the perceived...
He uses that.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But the... But I'll give you a different case which is going to come up when we talk about trading loans. Okay? When we deal with trading loans, the question is, normally, I might say to you, I'm going to lend you $1,000 today, and you'll pay me back. And then 6 months from now, you're going to lend me $1,000 and I'll pay you back. And we'd like to say that's all even. And what we say is, in a case like that, if there's a difference between the value of the money at this season versus that season, you can't do that. Meaning, if it's the time of the fair, the Maram Shik gives the case, if it's at the time, I think it's the Maram Shik, if it's the time of the Yerid, right? There's some kind of a business fair, and at that point the money is worth more because you can do more with it, then it's a ribbis problem. Even though the money is exactly the same, right, to the lender and the borrower. That's the way I look at it. There are external circumstances which happen to cause me to gain more money.
But I wouldn't conflate the two circumstances because in the case you just brought, the purchasing power of my money that I'm giving you at now is less. Then money has no objective value.
But here we're talking about the work itself doesn't change in value.
There's no inherent change in the work itself.
Correct. And the same thing is true here. There is no inherent change.
In the case of the money, there's been deflation.
No, it's not deflation. It's that you can use the money at the time of the fair. You have more business opportunities.
It has greater purchasing power.
No, it doesn't have greater purchasing power. It's a business opportunity that wasn't there at the other time of year.
But as the pursuer just said, if the boss has to approve it, then it's obviously mutter, right? Because then...
It wasn't approved, but it's mutter for completely different reasons. Don't even bother.
But okay. But let's take it one step further. If the boss doesn't have to approve it, what if you know the boss is machbir, then it's usher for you to do it. You can't trade.
If boss is machbir, this isn't the conversation.
Correct. If the boss isn't machbir, then what is the halachic difference between the boss having to actively approve it and the boss not caring? Because then what you're saying is that this isn't really my hour and that's not really his hour, because the boss doesn't care that this is my hour. This assumes, right, that the boss cares this is my hour and cares that it's that's his hour, but I don't have to ask his permission. That doesn't make sense. But
No. Because by saying the boss doesn't care, what you do is you take the boss out of the picture,
but not
you
really.
Still have two people.
No, because not really. What you're saying is the boss pays me by the end of the week for the number of hours I put in whenever I put it in. Right? And then I'm not really trading. I'm just saying I'm going to put in my hours for the boss. Right, that's the point. Is if the boss is machbid, it's usser. If the boss isn't machbid, that means the boss doesn't care if I work at 9 to 10. He cares that by the end of the week, I've worked 40 hours. So in the manashah, how are you ever going to create a case where the boss cares, right?
No.
But you don't view it as if you're working for the boss.
Everyone
ought to be doing their shifts.
But if my shift is my work,
it's individual.
I'm going to discuss it with you after, because I don't want to hold everything up. We're 20 minutes in already here.
Presented this as subjective versus objective.
Correct.
That's the way you present it.
Yes.
So I think the facts cause us to lose that.
Right.
Okay.
Right. I'll give you an example based on a difference in difficulty. This is from that article that you gave me by Donnie Wolf, on trading Taranut. So he wanted to know, what if it's more valuable to me to have you work for me at this time because I have a family event or I have a carpool or something like that. So that was his subjective case in terms of, it's hard for me to take care of this because I have to be over there and I have to be over there and it's going to be really difficult, but for you, there's no difference between the two jobs. That's another case of subjective difficulty. Mm-hmm. They deal with it as you will. The question, why don't we care that the day is longer later in the season? Right? Literally. I mean, right now, at this time of year, there is less sunlight. Right? If you wait until March, April, May, there will be more sunlight. Right? So why don't I care about the fact that within the season, you're working a longer day or a shorter day? Why doesn't that enter the calculation? So Nesiva Shalom gives you an answer, which I brought on the sheet in source. Oh, there it is. There's my Bris Yehuda. I had it on the sheet in source class. Kishavash maskarat eino mishum mumchiyut kim beglav vetek o markivim acherim yesh lehistafek. Except if your name is Yering, in which case you think ain lehistafek. But everybody else...
Or Adam and you, who ain lehistafek because you think it's vaday.
No, I wouldn't think... I say no. I think it's probably usser.
That's still
my feeling. You're making me more money. No, but I think probably. Yesh lehistafek. In any case, that's not... I said I wasn't reopening that. Zio Shalom, my source sheet thought differently. Source test. He says, V'af sheyesh hefreshim ba'orech hayom ben yemei nisan limei tamuz. Right, both the garbage season we expect. The gamma vodas you made tamuz kasha yoser, and it's harder in tamuz, you're working out in the sun. Mikomakom ein baze iser. No prohibition. Venera pashut. The iri davka ba'ofen sheschar ha'avoda shava bebez hayamim. You're being paid the same for each of these days, even if one is hotter, longer, whatever, the kaman she'enkan hefresh b'mamon lo gazru chachamim la'asor mishum hefresh b'koshi. The Kham did not extend the gezera to it. That's the position of the Nesiva Shalom. In other words, what he's really trying to say, I'll put it in the different words, is that we look at the traded work as a day unit, because that's the way the workers look at it. Meaning the workers don't look at it as, I am working 10 hours, you're working 6 hours. The workers look at it as, I am working a day, you're working a day, because that's the way the boss looks at it.
This puts the Bris Yehuda, sorry, without opening it, it just puts it in a different, in my opinion, in a different,
it's a different
light.
Case. But it's a different case.
No, but what are we doing? As opposed to Rashi, who's saying, Pamim zekashet, like it's physically difficult, here we're just applying the value to it. How much is this worth?
Right.
It might be more or less difficult, but it's
correct.
Worth X.
Correct. That is exactly right, and I'm going to come back to that point in just one moment after your own.
Clearly.
Okay. So the thing is, no, but The thing is, the Bris Yehuda makes that point exactly. In other words, that's the Nesiva Shalom's argument, is the reason I don't care about it being a longer day or a shorter day is because you got paid the same anyway. We look at it as a unit. It's a day. The Bris Yehuda has this idea I found afterwards in Perek Yud Aleph Ara Gimel, but he's bothered. Because we don't go by equal wages if the work is of different difficulties. If I said to you, weed with me and I will hoe with you, and we're paid differently for them, we wouldn't accept it. So if we're paid the same, the work is of different difficulty, we wouldn't accept it. So why do I care about equal wages if the day is longer? Day is longer means the work is harder. So the answer may be what the Rashash wrote. The Rashash on our mission, Nahem Beis, I brought it for you in Source Yud, says the exchange is allowed only if you're covering the same dimensions within the field. So therefore the length of the day is irrelevant. You're plowing an acre, I am plowing an acre, and I don't care how long the day is. So then he asks the question, but then why will you be paid differently? And he says, well, maybe because there's less time in the day, you have to work harder in order to fit it in, which I think throws everything out the window, which is why I just left it as an ellipsis.
There's just a different, harder work because of time.
Yeah. The harder that's work gets paid more for the harder work. Yeah.
I would hope so.
Yeah, it's not going to have me rush here.
His point is to do it by dimensions in order to solve the problem. I don't care about the length of the day. So the basic point that we've made at this stage is that work may be traded, assuming that it is identical work. You can be non-identical based on value. You could be non-identical based on difficulty. I think the subjective different case is harder, and we don't care about the length of the day. But let's go back to the original point that I made when we read this Mishnah about what the halachic concern is here. Why is it okay when the work is of the same variety? So there are two approaches. One approach is that we view this as a loan. It's a loan of work for work. And the only problem you have with lending work for work goes back to a shiur I gave ages ago, which is the sa'ah bis-sa'ah issue. Lending a commodity for a commodity where they fluctuate in value. I brought you the Mishnah here in Source Yud Aleph. It's the Mishnah right before ours, which says, Lo yomar adam l'chavero, haveni kurchiten v'aniyatin l'chalagor. And I can't say, lend me a kur of, kur, dry volume. Lend me a volume of wheat, and I will pay you back at the time of the granary. That's not allowed. Because it's going to go up in value over time. Avalomer low, but I can say, do me a favor, lend this to me, I would pay you back right now. The stuff's sitting in my cellar, I just don't have the key, or I don't have my son to go get it for me, but I'm really ready to pay you back right now, and that's Yeshla, which we're going to come back to in a moment. But the point is that this Mishnah says, you may not lend a commodity for a commodity. And in fact, it makes sense to say that that's what's going on in our Mishnah as well, because ours is the very next Mishnah. So don't lend a commodity for a commodity, and that includes don't lend work for work. Right? Because they can be of different values. If they're the same value, if the same difficulty, go ahead. It's like lending a saw where it's pegged to a certain value, and therefore I know it's not going to fluctuate in between.
Isn't this purely a cost-benefit analysis?
What do you mean?
That, what do you call it, work, whatever, is the cost equal?
Yes. Is the payback equal to what you provided?
You can figure it out each time.
Yes. Correct.
Forget about the specifics.
Right. Okay. Correct. We have two approaches to justify then why Nigush is permitted and not a problem. In other words, why am I not concerned like I am with Sa'abasa'a? So the first answer is the Ravid's answer. The Ravid says, and he's quoted in the Sefer HaTrumos, and I brought it for you on your sheet in Source Yud Beis. The answer essentially is Yeshlo. I'm going to say it outside of the sources. We took a lot of time on the beginning. This is the concept of Yeshlo. Just like we said in the Mishnah, if I have the stuff sitting in my cellar, and the only reason that I haven't given it back to you is a delivery issue, access and delivery temporarily, then the rule is Sa'abasa'a is fine. Right? That's the idea. We see it in the Gemara above Mitzvah Memdalad Amid Beis. I brought it for you in Source Yigimel regarding Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia exchanged, had a loan involving gold coins, and the gold coins are viewed as a commodity, and the reason why it was okay was because he considered it like a case of Yeshla, where he actually has it. There are problems, though, with arguing that that's why this is okay. Right? Let's talk it through. What you're really saying is that you are lending me weeding work in my yard, and I'm going to pay you back weeding work in your yard, and the reason why this is okay is because really, I could have given you the weeding work right now. It's like you have acquired the weeding work at this stage. So there are three problems with this. Problem number one is that the Yeshlo concept is defined according to Rashi, and I brought it for you in the Rashi in Soros Yadalid, that what it means is, it's as though the lender acquires the replacement right now, and therefore even if it goes up in value, it's in his possession, right? So if I lend you wheat, then it's as though you're acquiring the wheat in my cellar right now, and when the wheat appreciates between now and when I deliver it to you, it was your wheat anyway for this purpose. But here, what does he possess that went up in value in his possession? My work? What does that even mean? So the Ravid says, you're right, but it still works because lo gazer chachamim. The chachamim did not make a decree for this case, even though really Yeshlo shouldn't really work, and he brings you a Rashi and Ayin Hay, who has a similar language about Sa'ab Sa'ab being rabbinic anyway, and therefore we can just wave our arms and pretend there's no problem. The Chiyeshlo lo gazer, there's no gazer, even though the logic doesn't apply. The Tarei Zav gives another answer, in which he says the reason why it's okay is because Poel Gufo Kanoi. If someone is your worker, it's like you have acquired him. And therefore, yes, his body, so to speak, appreciated in your possession. Of course it's not what Vogel means. The whole thing is a very strange idea. But that's one problem with this argument. So the Ravid says, the reason why I can trade my weeding for your weeding is because you acquired my weeding right now. And therefore, even if weeding is worth more at the time that I do it for you, you already acquired it right now. That's one question and one sort of answer. The second question is, it's mechusar malacha. Literally. Meaning, the rule of, I can lend you a loaf of bread because you have a loaf of bread for me, works even if all you have is flour. Why? Why does that work? Because you could turn the flour into bread very easily. However, if it's mechusar malacha, if it is lacking in labor, which the Meiri defines, as I brought on your sheet in Source Tazayin, that it's lacking up to two steps, but no more than two steps. Just like the loaf of bread from flour, he says it only takes two steps of malacha to turn flour into bread. The Mishnah in Shabbos might not be so sure. There we go. Yeah, we'll have to talk about that. But the Meiri's statement is that we are willing to say Yeshlo even if it's missing two malachos, right? So my problem is going to be answered by that Meiri, right? My problem is it's mechusar malacha literally. He is missing my malacha. How can you tell me it's as though he possesses my weeding? I haven't actually weeded. So my answer is going to be that's okay because weeding is one malacha. The whole thing is getting into very esoteric.
You're avoiding the real.
Yes. Sorry.
It seems so easy from the beginning.
Right.
It's like you're waiting, it's not the same.
Yeah. So there's no malacha and the preliminary malacha.
Sure.
Yeah. The third problem is, and this is the strongest issue, and maybe the first one was, but alright. If work is really viewed as yeshlo, right? He has my work in his possession. Then I have a problem with the Gemara Bava Basra, Pevav Mebez, onto Pei Zayin Medalef, as brought in the Shulchan Aruch. I just brought you the Shulchan Aruch. I cut to the chase. In Source Yud Zayin, it says, Hasocher Sapol Bimos HaChorev, Lasos Imo Bimos HaKayetz, Bediner Leyom. I hire somebody in the wintertime. I say, listen, you're going to work for me this summer. Okay? And I'm paying you now a dinar a day. Umaktimos Karmayata. I'm paying you right now. What I'm doing is I'm locking him now at a lower rate. knowing that if I were to wait until the summer to hire him, his work would be worth more. Right? I want to hire a lifeguard this summer. I know that if I show up July 1 looking for a lifeguard, it's going to cost me $30 an hour. So I say, let me hire him during the winter time, and I'll pay him $20 an hour, but I'm going to give him the money now, and that's worth it to him. Usser. I'm not allowed to do that. I'm not allowed to pay him in advance. So the question is, if you really believe that work can be viewed as yeshlo,
why
can't I pay him now? It works for produce, poskin alaperos, right? We've talked about that. And so that's the question. And the Chavos Das asks this question. The Bris Yehuda says, I don't really understand why the Chavos Das thinks he discovered America or Canada or whatever. The Bris Yehuda in Yud Aleph, Ara Aleph, says, yeah, the Rishonim asked this question already on Bava Basra. Tosus in Bava Basra asks the question, and he says, the heter must be where you start work immediately. Not where you wait until the summer. The heter, the analogous heter would be, for us, the work for work, Nakesh, Vador, whatever, would be where you start work immediately.
And what's the mitzvah on that? Like, if I'm starting...
Yes, that's very difficult. So the Yeshlo argument is hard to sustain. The Chavos Das says, I dump the Yeshlo argument, and instead, the reason why it's okay to do this, and not Sa'a B'Sa'a, is because it's min echad, of one variety. What I'm giving you is the same thing as what you're giving me. In source Yud Ches, Ubanakesh imi banakesh imcha, mutter, kevin dafilu bava sabasa, mutter bimin echad. It's okay if it's of the same type. I don't know what the Chavos Das means. The Nesiva Shalom tries to explain it. I'm not really sure he succeeds in source Yud Ches. He says, Vacharchach lomar, da'acha gabi sa'abisa hekelu tfei, they're more lenient regarding sa'abisa, kevin shenose lo may ein mashe hilvo, because you're giving him something that is like what he lent you. Vein aribis ni keres kol ka, the ribis is not as visible. As opposed to the worker, where you pay him in advance less than you'd have to pay him later, where the difference is visible. I'm still not convinced, quite frankly. The Bris Yehuda notes that everybody seems to disagree with the right that in any case about this entire discussion, that this is a loan and it's about Sa'abisa. And he says the proof is that when the Shulchan Aruch discusses this issue about trading work, it doesn't do it in Yoredei Kuf Samach Beis, which is where it discusses Sa'abisa. That's not where it is. I actually brought this for you. I retyped it in Source Chaf. He says, "Midivrei Shar Poskim Nira Delo Sfirlu Karayi Vechidim Alachu Mishum Sa'ah B'Sa'ah." Ve'efshe Shalachin Lo Hevi Amachaber Gam Din Arayi Ve'bisim Kuf Samach Beis B'Din Sa'ah B'Sa'ah. Ve'atam Mishum Shebeschirus Poel Lo Ola Mischayev Beschara Malacha V'Lo B'Malacha Acheres. He says the reason is because when you hire a worker, you're not. I don't want the second line yet because the second line is. But no, actually, no, I'm sorry, it is good. He says, Hamishum Shabishir's Powell. He says, you know why it's not Sa'abisa'a? Because when you hire a worker, you're not obligated to give him work of that variety. You're obligated to pay him money.
Right.
That's what obligates you. He says, you know what this is like in the case of Sa'abisa'a? It's like the case in which I borrow a loaf of bread from you, and I say I'm borrowing 75 cents worth of bread. In which case, Sa'abisa is not an issue, because my debt is 75 cents. My debt is not a loaf of bread. That's the Bris Yehuda's resolution for the problem. He says, we're not dealing with, we don't view this as a loan and a Sa'abisa issue. So again, the Raivad frames our entire discussion as being about lending work in exchange for received work. And therefore he says it's a Sa'abisa problem, and that's why I can't trade weeding for hoeing. And he has to come up with all sorts of ways in which weeding for weeding is going to be fine. However, the Bris Yehuda says that's not what we think this is. It's not discussed in Sa'abisa at all. The reason it's not Sa'abisa is because you're really pegging the lent work to an amount of money. So what is the issue then in our Mishnah? The issue is delayed payment for work with wages that are in the form of work later on. That's the idea. I am working for you, I'm sorry, you are working for me in our case, right? I say to you, I want you to work for me, and my payment for that work will be the work that I do later on, and the issue is, are you allowed to offer somebody to pay him more if the payment is delayed? That's really our entire conversation. That's what the Chavetz Chaim says is going on. I brought it for you in Source Chafal. He says, Ilule Divrei Arai Vatzal. That's very respectful. Then dot. He says, Vada Mutter Banakishimi Nakishimcha, whom he tam, Vada Mutter Lomer Nakishimi Biyokaram Tanas Mos. Kosh Ein Shuma Saniko Shedua. And he says, this is the case of Tarsha, which is good because I get to reference my third year in this. Everything that we did this year is somehow coming to a head. Remember the Tarsha of Rav Nachman. That was the simplest of the Tarsha cases. Rav Nachman said, in the event that that you pay more because you are paying later. In other words, I want to sell Yaron a car. Okay? Yaron comes into my store. Yaron says, I want to buy a car. Right? And he says to me, I want to pay you 3 years from now for the car that I'm buying now. And I say to Yaron, okay, but it's going to cost you $30,000. That's fine as long as it's not clear to everybody that I'm charging him more for the sake of the 3 years. If $30,000 is a reasonable amount of money for someone to pay for that car, basically, then as long as I don't say to him, if you pay me now, it's $25,000, we're going to be okay with this form of Tarsha. The Chavetz Chaim says that's what's going on. So in a case where it's the same kind of work, you can't really tell that there's any difference in value. The work now, the work later, it's okay. But if you're going to do weeding for hoeing, then you're running into a case in which it is visibly different. That's the way that the Chavetz Chaim frames this. It's all about payment for work. The Nesiva Shalom claims that the Chazon Ish disagrees, because it is a problem of Ma'alehu Harbe. Everyone can see the price is higher. But he references a Chazon Ish, which I looked at. And the Chazon Ish is in Ribbis. It's Yoredeya Ayin Beis Dalid. And in that section, he does discuss the Abbasah, and he even quotes the Chavetz Chaim. But I can't find him saying what the Nesiva Shalom says he's saying. The Nesiva Shalom is Kuf Samach Tes Dalid, if anyone wants to look it up. But it's really important when you reframe this, not as a loan, but as part of wages. Because what that also means is that at worst, it's Ribbis Derech Mekach. Right, which itself is a derabanan. That's number one. Number two, if this is really going to be viewed as wages, then that means you have an issue of biomoti tein scharo and bal talin potentially, right? And if you make such a deal and it's a loan, then the second worker has an obligation to actually work. It's a loan. You have to pay your debts. However, if it's payment for wages, then you can back out and pay differently. You can make other arrangements. So there are different ways that you could, you know, there are different laws that attach to this if you're really going to say this. So again, we're talking about trading work for work. What we've said is you can do it if it's identical, but not if it's non-identical, with some discussion about what identical, non-identical means. And there are two ways to look at this. Either it's a loan of work for work, or it's payment for your work. Now, I'm going to pay you later. Those are two different ways that you can frame this. Two questions regarding this business of payment for waiting. First of all, what if it's halachically the same kind of work, but the borrower of work states explicitly that he's going to give the better work as payment for waiting? In other words, it's halachically the same type of work. Let's say we're both weeding, right? And it's in the same season. Okay? But we know that, in fact, the second work is going to be harder work. It's going to be a longer day. It's one of the things that we suggested earlier. Right? It's going to be a longer day. It's a hotter time of year, whatever it is. And the borrower says explicitly, I am going to work for you this summer because you're such a nice guy, because you're waiting for me to pay you back. So the Mordechai quotes the Maharam saying that's okay. You're allowed to say, that's just fine, says the Mordechai. There he's quoting the Maharam. That's not his own statement. The Maharam Bar Baruch. He says, there's no neshach because the wage is the same. And and he's good with it. And he also says, I didn't bring you the whole piece. He says, don't worry about Ribbis Devarim here. It's not Ribbis Devarim problem. It's okay. The Shulchan Aruch Harav says, no, you may not do that. I brought it for you in Source Chav Gimel. Yesh Ribbis Bemalacha Kigon Lomar Lachavero Aseimi dot dot dot. And including Yom Katsar Yom Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch Harav does not like that. The Ziva Shalom really doesn't like the Shulchan Aruch Harav disagreeing with the Maharam. And so he says, maybe that's where there is a wage difference. He comes up with that idea. The other question that comes up within this is, what if the payback is coming later, but the improved payback is coming later, but not due to waiting over time, not due hamtana zman. This is part of that article on exchanging Torah. We talked about this yesterday. Let's say the next Torah, it's the next Torah opportunity. Right? The next shift, this afternoon. Right? It's not about, I'm gonna do harder work for you, you know, later on because you waited for me. It's just that's the next chance. Take a shift. It's the very next day. So, Survey Wolf asked this question, doesn't answer it. The Mishnah's case is the very next day. So
there really isn't an obvious time difference.
Right. So I don't know.
I would say in that case it shouldn't be called agar natay, because the whole point of agar natay is that you could have done it for me, but I held back.
Right. Right, and that's his argument for why it shouldn't be an issue. Is that it's really not agar natay at that point. One other note, and this goes back to what you had asked about before, right? I said to you it was going to be the Bris Yehuda. Where there is an intermediary boss or organizer involved, so this may not be a problem of trading at all. And that's what the Bris Yehuda says regarding that issue of shifts in the factory. If the boss is approving everything, then it's really the boss saying, you do this, you do this, and it's not alone at all. And that Tarnut article invokes from Mordechai Eliyahu regarding trading shifts on a kibbutz. The schedule is not meant to say, this is yours and this is yours. It's just a way to assign the jobs, and people are free to swap. Right. And it's not an ownership of a role type of...
That doesn't make a difference in the direct.
Yeah.
No, but that doesn't... If we're not looking at the value of it...
It might be the only things which theoretically have
value. That's a whole other discussion.
Right? You're never going to hire... You don't hire field return at this point. It's
not in Gush.
In Gush. That's what I'm saying.
That's what
I'm saying. Right, that's what you're saying. In the system, this is the...
That's the point.
People can't trade through.
Right. There's no value to it. The only question is difficulty differences, not value differences. Okay. That brings us to the topic of trading loans. Okay, that's it. We're confused about trading work. Now we can talk about trading loans. Get confused there as well. So the Ramah brings two different views. It's the source of Dalid. I apologize for the fact that it crosses the page on our sources, but that's the way it goes. The Me'echod Malva Mos Lachavero Alzman Makadesh Yachzer V'Yalveyu Pamacheres Kizman Rishon. One person lends money to another for a period of time. He's going to pay it back. And then he's going to, there will be a loan exchanged for it as well. In other words, I'm going to lend Jerry money in January. I'm lending it January 1. He's going to pay me back by January 31. I lent to him in January. And then in March, he's going to lend to me. And we'll trade it that way. So the Ramah writes, Yesh omrim sha'asur. Some say you're not allowed to do that. Velo dami la oseimo malacha v'chozer oseimo. It's not like trading work. Degabe halva schar halva hu notel. Because now you are getting payment for the loan. I'm going to explain this in a moment. I just want to read through the Ramah. The Yesh omrim the mutter. Emeno ma velo lizman aroch yosei ma shilva. And some say it's permitted, assuming the loans are of equal length. So first of all, a note regarding those who permit. Even those who permit require the loans should be of the same duration, right? No one disagrees on that point. And the Gedulei Truma contends that not only that, and this is the point that I made before at the Yerid, it wasn't the Maram Shik, it's the Gedulei Truma. The Gedulei Truma, which I brought you in, source Chav Hei, says the second loan can't be at a time of year when the money can earn money easier. even if the money itself has the same purchasing power, but the opportunities are there. Like the time of the arid, the time of the fair. So he wants you to make sure that isn't involved either. So, yeah.
Well, that's because the Milvah Lehoitzah and Nitnah. And so the Hoitzah is not the same.
Maybe. Maybe. But that means that we care about subjective value. That's the upshot.
I'm not convinced
that. Why is that subjective?
Or what happens if
unless it's not considered subjective. Unless that's really not considered subjective. Maybe.
Or what happens if there's, you know, the vegetable fair one time of the year and the fruit one the other time of the year, and I'm a fruit seller, you're a vegetable seller.
Then it becomes a case in which you can't evaluate.
Right, that's what I'm saying is
not nicker at all.
Right, but the question is, isn't that, you know, is the arid that objective? Meaning, if I need the money because I'm buying a house right now, so that's my...
Right,
now
why
right, just, if everyone's okay with me going past 12:30, we can do this. Otherwise, I'm going to say hold this till the end of shiur in case people have to leave, just because we're gonna run out of time, and this is the last shiur of this month.
It's up to you. I mean, you're the only one who's got a...
Yeah, Adam's going to have to go. All right, and he has a chavrusa coming. So, okay, so we can talk after, okay?
I had a very short question, but it's not that important.
Oh, okay, fine. Now you make me guilty.
No, it's not. Keep going. Okay. I'll ask you.
Okay. Unclear whether this is a Del Raisa or a Derabonin concern. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav thinks it's Del Raisa. He says in Chavav, Ulinyan Halacha Bishol Torah Halach Acher HaMachmir. And then in parentheses, and even if it's a Derabonin, HaMachmir Tavol of Bracha. But the Shulchan Aruch HaRav thinks that this is actually biblical. The Chachmas Adam, the Chachmas Adam in Kuflam at Aleph Yedalit says it's a Del Raisa issue, while the Gra and the Rosh and then the Gra are going to compare this to Devarim and say that it's a Derabanan at worst that we're dealing with. The Achronim on this, the Kuntras Haribis, Derech Arucha 5-6, Hevav. Kuntras Haribis is also known as the Kuntras Hasma. Says, I think the Rama likes the permitting view because he brought that one second. He thinks the Rambam permits. But many do prohibit. Rabbi Reisman on page 71 in the Green Book quotes you the Levush in Kuf Samach Yud, the Gra in Kuf Samach Tezayin, the Shulchan Aruch HaRav that we mentioned, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Samach Tezayin, all prohibiting the trading of loans. So what's our issue in all of this? So before we unpack these views, I think it's helpful to go back to the way we framed loans in the very beginning of learning Ribbis. There are two approaches to the chesed of lending. Right? Approach number one is the lender lends money and he gets paid back. And the chesed is that he enables somebody else to engage in business, right? But the lender suffers no loss. That's one way to look at it. My chesed is simply one that doesn't cost me anything. The second approach is the lender lends money and is paid back, but he's a baal chesed in that he will never get back his opportunity cost and inflation. He takes a hit. And he may not get repaid easily and on time. So therefore, the lender suffers and the borrower gains. Right? Borrower gains and lender loses. So there's a very big difference between the two, and I think it matters over here. If I take if I take the first approach, which is that the borrower gains and the lender doesn't lose, then lenders emerge whole from their loans. And therefore, if I engage in a loan now, and then we reverse it later on and promise a later loan, that's okay, because everybody's going to come out even all along. There's a loan now, there's a loan later, everybody comes out even, we're good. But if I take the second approach, then the first lender is losing by not charging ribbis for the first loan, and his borrower is promising, I'll make it up to you by giving you a second loan later. And granted that at the end they will have come out even, the original lender was never meant to emerge whole from his first loan. And if you're going to make it up to him later on, that is ribbis. And that's where this plays out in the Rishonim. Watch. The reason to prohibit ala the rush is because the initial borrower is now giving something to the lender by promising to do that by promising to do a second loan. The Mordechai brings it in Shin Mem, the end of Shin Mem, but the rush is what I brought you on your sheet, I think. Yeah. The rush says in Source Chav Zion, it's Klakuchesim in Tes Zion, he says Hainu scharo al shema, just what I bolded. Tekevin shemavalo pamacheres, hainu scharo al shemavalo atah. You're paying him for giving you the loan now. And that's his first point. That's his first point. He then has a second point, which I also bolded, which he says, you're going to prohibit verbal ribis. Right? Whether it's to really include a thank you or not. But we're going to prohibit a verbal ribis. You sure have to prohibit this. Why is that any less than ribis devarim? And the Gra sides with the Rosh's argument. The Bris Yehuda asks an interesting question. So which loan is prohibited? If this is considered ribis kitsutza, right, Shulchan Aruch Harav style, then the first loan is a loan for ribis, and the second loan is payment of ribis. If it's not considered ribis kitsutza, then the first loan is ribis mukdemes. You're doing it in order to get the second loan later on, and the second one is ribis mucheres for receiving the first loan. Sorry?
Depends how the deal is phrased or how
the
Yes.
Yes. Right. Who's asking?
Yeah, sorry?
Right, no,
It depends a little bit on the wording, correct. So that's the prohibiting reason. Because I will say the initial borrower was missing something, and now you're doing this second loan as a make-up for that. Why would you permit? Because at the end of the day, they all come out whole. The Maharam is quoted in the Mordechai in Shin Mem to say this, and the Sefer HaTrumos brings it. I brought you the Sefer HaTrumos on the sheet in Source Chavches. Umikan yesh lo chiyach dachinami sharele the member lelechavrei halveini mea chodesh ze vani ava locham mana chodesh acher. That's fine. Davalei kinakeshim yayom vani akeshim chalamachar. It's just like trading the same work. I'm good with it. The Mordechai challenges this, and he says no. In the Nakesh case, he borrows and repays, and it's over.
Right.
Here, you're promising a future loan. He says, what are you talking about? So the Nesiva Shalom gives an answer, which I brought you on your sheet. Did I retype it, or did I not in the end? No, I did not retype it in the end. He says, the Maharam specifies that regarding weeding and hoeing, we consider the season one entity because the wages are the same, even if the day's length changes. Right? That was by weeding and hoeing. So we see that the main point is whether there's a financial benefit. In the reciprocal loan, there is no financial advantage in the end. Right? In the end, we all come out even, and that's why it's okay. The Machane Ephraim has a second challenge, and that's what I brought you on the sheet in source, I'll say it outside. We have various sources in the Gemara that show that holding someone else's money for a period of time has monetary value, even if they eventually pay it back. The Gemara in Makos talks about a case in which I owe somebody a loan with a payment date 10 years from now, right? And Adam Zoman come along and say, actually it's due next week. So when they get caught, they have to pay me whatever it's worth to have a loan with a 10-year collection date instead of a next week collection date. Right? Mm-hmm. So that shows that there is a value you can attach to it. The Nesiva Shalom adds to Machne Ephraim in Kusamach Test, he says in the Gran Kiddush and Davavim Ebeis, says that you could be Mekadesh and Isha with a loan extension. If you say to her, instead of owing me now, you owe me later, that can account for Kiddush, but there's more to discuss there. So the Nesiva Shalom answers, you're right, I guess it's just not considered money as far as Ribbis is concerned. He shrugs. He says, I guess it's not an issue.
It's value, but not.
Yeah. Two last points. Application to this. Free loan fund. What if there's a free loan fund in which the members agree to lend to others? Okay? This is not the case we discussed when I talked about ribis with tzedakah funds, right? Where we talked about lending money with ribis to the members of the fund. There's no ribis. These are all free loans. Okay? But the deal is, all of us join in the fund, all of us contribute to the fund, with the idea being that any member can take out a loan from the fund, right? And that's the way it works. So the question is, why isn't that a problem of halveini va'avalacha? I lend to you, you lend to me, right? Why is that not a problem? The loan itself constitutes ribis. So the Maram Shik asked this question, yeah?
But the loan is to the fund. Not
the donation is to the fund. But every time a loan is extended from the fund, we are all extending that loan.
No, it's the fund. It has its own life. Right, but if it's not a separate...
What you're trying to do is create a corporation.
Right.
Right.
So that's not what it is.
So, leaving aside corporation protections.
Okay.
You're right, but we're leaving aside corporation protections. So the Maram Shik in Yerodeh Kufnun Zayin, quoted in the Bris Yehuda Yudalef Ha'arayu Gimel, is lenient. He says, why am I lenient? Because the member may borrow more than he lent before any further loan can be taken. In other words, let's say I put my money in the fund, I take out a loan, and I never pay it back. Right? And the loan is worth more than I paid in. So then I'm okay. Because then I'm never a net lender to anybody else. There was never a second half to my deal. So the Maharam Sheikh says, therefore this is okay. Rabbi Reisman is really unhappy in the Green Book, page 331. He wants you to use a heterisk. He says, Yeshami Lismoch. But he's unhappy, and it's clear he's unhappy, because that's never going to happen. If that happened, your loan fund would fall apart right away. That's not the way you design your loan fund. The last bit was just a very interesting note, and I thought a good end for Ribis. Kedusha Rabbeinu Meir Simcha on Bava Metzia and Hamad Aleph has comments there on Hilchos Rivis. So he has a unique take on this discussion about trading loans. And I brought a few as the last source, but since it's 12:30, I'll just tell it to you outside, but you can see it in Source Lamed Aleph. He says, lending is a mitzvah. So there should be no problem with promising to lend later. It's not schar for having extended the first loan. You're not allowed to take schar for a mitzvah. Right? In other words, I make a deal with Yaron. You lend to me now, I will lend to you later. Right? His loan to me is a mitzvah. He's not taking payment for the mitzvah that he did. You don't take payment for mitzvahs. That's a whole other discussion, but that's what he takes as a given. So he says, why should this be a problem at all? He says, it's not. The only case that's a problem, and the case that all the Rishonim and Achronim have to be dealing with, is a case in which I don't have money to lend to Yaron, and I make a promise to him that I'm going to go borrow money in order to lend to him, because there's no chiyuv to borrow money from somebody in order to lend to somebody else. That's not my mitzvah anymore, and that's where it'll be a problem. The Bris Yehuda shakes his head. He says that would require rejecting everything said by all the Rishonim and Achronim in this discussion, right? Because you have to rewrite every case to fit this thing. But the idea of lending as a mitzvah, I think, is a good point to come back to as we conclude the study of Ribis. Shkach.